chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 21, read to verse 24. I'm going to do something tonight that I have never done. If I had a DVD, I would let you see Brother Jerry Jones preach this sermon. But since I don't have a DVD, I don't think I want to play a CD while you sit there and clip your fingernails and don't get out of it what you ought to get out of it. I cannot preach like Brother Jerry Jones, but he did an awesome job bringing an awesome message. It will not be the same message. It will be different because we're preaching to a different congregation of people. But these thoughts, the majority of these thoughts, there will be things here that you can't blame him for. But the majority of thoughts that I'm going to bring tonight am from a message that he preached on Tuesday night. And it was an awesome message that I wanted to share with you tonight. I hope you'll allow me that liberty, and my apologies to Brother Jones. But the compliment is that it affected me enough that I'd like to share it with you. And we'll do our very best tonight. Amen. So I'm going to preach Brother Jerry Jones' sermon tonight. And so forgive me, and I pray that he'll forgive me. I'll ask him when we get to heaven. Amen. He'll have to forgive me there or he'll get kicked out. So he's not like that. He's a good man. Great Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Everybody say, you can't get smart enough to know God. Wisdom won't cut it. Okay, how smart you are, you can't know God by wisdom. He said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So you don't know God because of smartness. You know God because of preaching. That's what he said. Isn't that what that said? That's what it said to me. He said, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to title the sermon tonight, but we preach. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Preaching has been the mainstay of the church since its inception. Preaching is still the mainstay of the church after these thousands of years, almost 2,000 years, and still preaching is popular. Did you know that on one Sunday, there are more people in America in church than in every NFL football game, every National Basketball Association game, every National Hockey League game for the entire season combined? They don't want you to know that, but it's the truth. In one Sunday, we have more people in church than those organizations have through their entire season. One Sunday. Preaching is still popular. In one Sunday, there are more people in church than there are through Major League Baseball Association, though they play 2,400 games over 6 months. There's more people in church one Sunday than in all of those baseball games combined. preaching is still popular. We are in a culture that wants you not to believe that. We're in a culture that doesn't want you to know that. But I'm here today to tell you that preaching still counts. And people still love preaching, and people still need preaching. Amen. Through the ages, when preaching was weak in the church was weak. But through the ages, when preaching was strong, the church has been strong. One thing that has kept the Pentecostal church strong from the beginning of the century, the past century, until the present, is because there has been strong preaching in the movement. The emphasis has stayed on preaching. In the last few years, there has been among some groups a moving away from preaching. Amen. And preaching has changed. Amen. Some people say, I don't think you need to get all that excited when you preach. I'm sorry. I can't help but get excited when I preach because I believe what I'm preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not just an intellectual exercise. This is a spiritual exchange tonight. Amen. The Bible said that God hath chosen. Everybody say, God chosen. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. People are still saved by preaching. In a church where there's little preaching, there's little power. In churches where there's no preaching, there's no power. In churches where there's much preaching, there's much power. Preaching is powerful. Amen. Church in Louisiana, they were doing some remodeling. They were taking some large rafters out of the ceiling, about 25 feet up, scaffolding. They were handing it down. One man, I got a hold of one end, and he was suddenly something happened. It began to fall. He was trying to not drop it. He stepped back 3 steps, and the scaffold only went 2 steps. So he went off the end, and he began to fall. And he said while he was falling, he started thinking, you know, the platform is up about 3 feet. And then he got to thinking in the pulpit, well, that's probably another 4 feet. So if I can land on the pulpit and break my fall, I won't fall as far. And so he landed on the pulpit. And when he got up, he looked at his pastor and he said, Pastor, I was saved by the pulpit. Amen. I want you to know that tonight. We're still saved by the pulpit. We're still saved by preaching. Hallelujah. Thank God for apostolic preaching. It's important that we understand that we're still saved by preaching. Romans chapter 10, amen, in verse number 13, the Scripture tells us how important our preaching really is. It says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody say, if you call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. But verse 14 said, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? So you see, there's a progression here, isn't there? Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. But where does the hearing come from? You've got to have a preacher. And the preacher has to have a message. And the message has to be the Word of the Lord. Amen. We're not here to preach opinions. We're not here to preach politics. We're not here to preach sports statistics. Amen. We're here to preach the Word of the Lord. Amen. It's important tonight that we understand that it's the Word of God that saves us. Amen. Let's read it again. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 22. He said the Jews require a sign. They were looking for signs. You know what? There are still people looking for signs. Amen. If you're looking for signs, you're going to be easily deceived. I said you're going to be deceived. The Lord told Israel in the Old Testament, He said, I will send signs among you. Amen. And so He's going to test their faith to see if they have more faith in signs than they do in God. You be careful about looking for signs. If you find somebody that has a blinking cross in his forehead and all drinking out of dripping out of his fingertips, and he can do all kinds of wonders and miracles, but he's not preaching the Word of God, don't follow him. He's a false prophet. Amen. You judge. The Bible said about the Berean church that they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if what they were preaching was true. You hear me tonight. You search the Scriptures. Don't take somebody's word for it. When you're preaching and you hear something and it doesn't strike a chord of truth, you check it out. Amen. Hallelujah. I like to jump up and holler when people are preaching, but I got to believe what they're saying. And I've heard a few people say something, and I had to say, whoa now. Better check that out. And then when I checked it out, if it was right, then I could shout. But if it wasn't right, I said, uh-uh. Not believing that. Amen. Preaching must be biblical. It must have its foundation, no matter how great it sounds, no matter how exciting it is, it has to have its foundation in the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. That's good, Brother Grissom. Thank you for telling me that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've heard folks, you know, I've heard all kinds of things. There was one group that they were selling red cloth. The guy said, well, I took this cloth. The Lord told me to take this cloth to Jerusalem. And when I walked into the tomb where Jesus was buried, the whole roll turned red. And if you'll just send me an offering, I'll send you a piece of this miracle cloth. Amen. You don't need miracle cloth. Amen. Praise the Lord. But somebody seeking for a sign can be deceived by such things. Amen. That's right. We don't need signs, folks. Now, I'm not precluding. Now, let me just tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said, Brother Neil read it tonight, these signs shall follow them. Do you notice that? Signs follow them. They do not follow signs. When we believe, signs follow us. When we believe, healing is the norm. When we believe, demons are cast out. When we believe, we speak with new tongues. But the signs follow the believers. You know what the Bible said? Amen. If you don't believe that, let me read it for you. Let's go to the book of Mark. To the 16th chapter. I don't want you to take my word for this. Amen. Verse 17. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. that shall take up serpents, and it shall, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Signs follow believers. Believers do not follow signs. It's important that we get that order right. Amen. Because if we just follow in signs, we can be led astray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe in signs. I believe in healing. I believe in miracles. Amen. But I don't want people to follow just the sign. Let's follow the one that's doing the work. Amen. If we're not careful, we can give too much credit to a person and not enough credit to God. Amen. And we can get confused between who's doing the healing. I always loved the story about Brother Barnes when he had his sign painted and displayed so beautifully that said Barnes Healing Campaign. And the Lord said, "Who's Barnes?" And he was smart enough to take it down and say, it's not Barnes Healing Campaign. It's Jesus Healing Campaign. Amen. He still does the works, doesn't he? He's still the healer. He's still the Savior. He's still the deliverer. Amen. It's vital and it's important that we understand tonight who's doing the work. So Jews seek signs. And then he said, and the Greeks seek wisdom. Amen. That's what they want. They want an intellectual approach. And we have that group. There are doctors filling pulpits that have more degrees than a thermometer. And they sound smart, but they don't preach. They lecture. And many of them don't explain the Bible. They explain the Bible away. They don't explain the miracles of the Bible. They explain away the miracles of the Bible. They don't believe the miracles of the Bible. Amen. We need to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Amen. It's vital. It's important. I'm not against education. I don't believe God blesses ignorance. Scripture does say study. But say study. To show thyself approved. Amen. A workman unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know what the Bible says. So preach with wisdom. Preach with understanding. Preach with anointing. Preach with power. Amen. But know that you must preach the Word of God. Paul speaking to a group of men the last time before he left to go to Jerusalem and eventually to Rome and to his death. When he spoke to those people, he said that I have spoken to you all the counsel of God. Everybody say all the counsel of God. He said, I didn't withhold anything from you. I gave you the whole thing. You know why it's important to be a part of a church and be consistent in your church attendance? It's so that you get a well-rounded meal. If you come to church one time and don't like what you hear, please come back. That was just one part of the counsel. And it might have been what you really needed. Might have been that's what made you mad. But if you come back, we might put a Band-Aid on it next time. Amen. We really don't do Band-Aids around here. Amen. Jesus is not into Band-Aid theology. Amen. The Bible didn't say that He came to put Band-Aids on us. It said that He came to save us from our sin. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it. He heals it. He makes it new. He lets you start all over again. Amen. And so it's vital tonight that when you preach, we preach the whole counsel. Amen. We don't want to preach one sermon every service. Amen. It'll be something different. I was with somebody the other day and they said, well, we have two services on Sunday. I said, well, great. Right now we have four. Amen. He said, and we preach the same sermon in both services. And I said, we preach a different one in each one. Amen. We teach a Sunday school lesson, and that's different than the Sunday morning sermon. And then we go to Canton, and that's different than what we preach here. And then we come back Sunday night, and that's different than what we did in the other three. Amen. So surely in all that, you'll find something that you like. And you might find something to be offended at. Amen. But just thank you for... I'm so glad you keep coming, folks. It amazes me sometimes. Praise the Lord. How much abuse people can take. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, I learned a long time ago that in building, there has to be some destruction before there can be construction. If you're going to build a house somewhere, you've got to do some destruction first. You're going to have to go down there and you're going to have to take out some trees. You're going to have to move some rocks. And you're going to have to move some soil. And you're going to have to level some things. And you're going to have to smooth some things. And you're going to have to tear some things out before you can put something good in. And the Word of God, it comes into our life and there has to be a little destruction. Some taking care of some things. Some getting rid of things. Before God can begin to put in what needs to be put in. It's all a process. Amen. And the Word of God does all of that. He talked about the Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Somebody said it cuts coming and going. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I believe that one side of the weapon is a death and the other side is healing. With one side, He cuts out, and with the other side, He heals. Amen. Isn't that what a doctor does? I've had some surgery in my life, and I promise you, yes, a doctor, he was real smart. He had a degree in everything. But you know what? It hurt just as bad as if I just cut myself. It still hurt bad. But you know what? When it was all over with, I was better. He did it for my own good. And I'm still living today. And I thank God for that. So the Lord comes, and sometimes the Word of God does a little surgery. It has to take care of some things, and sometimes it's hurtful first. Amen. He deals with some things that I may not want to really deal with. He spotlights things that I need to work on. Amen. And then He sends power. He sends power to remove those things. And then He fills those places with peace and with joy and with righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Amen. There is a creative power in preaching. I love the verse in the book of Mark, chapter 16. Verse number 20, the Bible talks about the disciples responding to the commission that Jesus gave them. The Bible says they went everywhere preaching. Everybody say preaching. The Lord confirming the Word with signs following. The Lord confirmed what they preached. The Lord confirmed what they preached. The only way He can do that is if you preach His Word. If you're preaching opinion, God can't necessarily back you up. Amen. If you're preaching speculation, then God can't fulfill that. But if you preach His Word, then He can respond because He always backs His Word. So when they preached healing, Jesus healed. When they preached forgiveness, Jesus forgave. When they preached salvation, Jesus saved. When they preached Holy Ghost, He poured out His Holy Spirit. What they preached is what God did. And you hear me today, when we preach the Word of the Lord, that's what God does.
Amen.
I believe that the Lord would pour out the Holy Ghost in every church in Athens, Texas. Somebody said, well, why does that just happen to you folks? Because we preach it. Amen. If another church would preach it, they would receive it. Amen. Why do people get healed? Because we preach healing. Why do people live holy and separate? Because we preach holiness and separation. Is that a biblical message? Is that a biblical message? Yes, it is. You get what you preach. It has a creative force and a creative power. Amen. And the church is strong when we preach. Preaching is powerful. Preaching is necessary. Amen. I love the scripture in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The Bible sent the prophet to a valley. And when he got there, the Bible said that the valley was full of dry bones. We don't know what happened there. I don't know why those bones were there. I don't know where they came from. I don't know if they were casualties of war or perhaps some plague that came through. I don't know why there were so many of them. But the Bible says that there was a valley that was full of bones. The Bible says that they were very many and they were very dry. Very dry. Everybody say very dry. That means they had been dead a while. Bare, dry bones. And then God asked him a question. He said, do you believe that these bones can live? Wow. That's quite a question, isn't it? Amen. And he said, well, Lord, you know. That's always a good answer, by the way. Lord, you know. Lord, you can do anything. Amen. And so he just passed it off to the, you know, God. And listen to what the Lord said. He said, prophesy unto these bones. You know what the word prophesy means? It means preach. So what he was saying, he said, Ezekiel, preach to these bones. Amen. And he did that. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? You're the best expression of faith is obedience. It's not feeling. You don't have to feel anything to obey God. Can I say that one more time? A lot of us go by feeling. Well, I don't really feel that. Well, that's not important. If the Lord said it, just obey it regardless of how you feel. I don't know how he felt. I just know that he preached. And he said, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he ran back and he preached. I don't know what he preached. I don't know how long he preached. But he preached. Amen. Hallelujah. And as he started preaching, something started happening. Huh. Amen. It was all of a sudden a little finger bone attached to a hand bone. And a hand bone attached to an arm bone. And an arm bone attached to an elbow bone. And an elbow attached to a shoulder.
and a shoulder attached to, or a skeleton rolled over and popped on a neck bone. Amen. And a backbone and hip bones and thigh bones and kneecaps and all of a sudden feet bones begin to attach to the bottom of legs and toes attached to the end of feet and there they lay. There was this body, all these bones connected. That would have been a miracle right there. Amen. My everything. It all came together by preaching. Preaching. And then all of a sudden, he watched as the bones were all together and then muscle began to rope its way around the old bones. And blood vessels began to run their path down through the body and up to the heart. And then he watched his skin begin to cover the rest of the sinew and the muscle. And eyes appeared in sockets. And nostrils were opened up. And teeth got back into the head. And hair began to grow. Wow. The power of preaching. And he kept on preaching. Amen. And he was thinking, this preacher's awesome stuff. And then the Lord said to him again, he said, Ezekiel, he said, do you believe that these bodies can live? Well, Lord, we've come a long way. By now, I think his faith's getting stronger. Amen. We've come a long way when we started here. Preaching is powerful. Preaching is a creative force. And so the Lord said to him, he said, now I want you to preach to the wind. Can you imagine somebody riding by about that time on a camel in a caravan, looking over and saw this crazy guy out there just preaching to the wind? Oh, north wind blow, south wind blow, east wind blow, west wind blow. He's crazy. Amen. But all of a sudden, breath began to enter into those bodies. Chest began to rise. Heart began to beat. Blood began to flow. Strength entered into the muscles. The eyes flew open. They sat up. They stood up. And the Bible said they filled the valley a great, mighty army. That's the power of preaching. Hallelujah. You know what you need to do when you feel dry? Listen to some preaching. Amen. Don't get one of those tears in your beer songs. That'll make you feel worse. Get some preaching. Amen. Go to the website. Click on preaching. Amen. Go to get you a cassette. Well, it used to be cassettes. Now they're what? CDs or MP3s. Amen. And listen to some preaching. Because that'll put strength in you. It'll put power in you. It'll put hope in you. It'll put joy in you. Preaching. Thank God for preaching. Amen. Thank God for preaching. You need to pray for your preacher. Amen. You need to pray for your preacher for his sake, and you need to pray for the preacher for your sake. Amen. Don't you pray for the Lord to make it easy. Amen. You pray that He'll give us wisdom to say the right thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember one guy was praying. He said, Lord, he said, give me a lighter burden. And another fellow said, don't do it, God. Give him a stronger back. That's how we ought to be praying, right? Amen. God, don't give me a lighter burden. Give me a stronger back. Make me stronger than I was. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. Amen. One guy was getting so blessed, he said, turn it off. Turn it off. I can't take any more. Another fellow said, don't turn it off. Increase our capacity. Don't turn it off, Lord.
Just make us where we can handle more. Praise God. That's what preaching does. It increases your capacity. It gives you a stronger back. It makes you a better person. It gives you power and ability to go on and endure things that you didn't realize you could endure. There were some of you here tonight, you're so much stronger than you used to be and you don't even know it. It's been a process of time. Things that would have knocked you down and knocked you out a little while ago, now you hardly even know that you've been hit. It's like, huh? What was that? That's the best you got? Amen. Because God has made you stronger. Preaching makes us stronger. Thank God for preaching. Brother Jones talked about a minister and his wife that came to him at a meeting where he was preaching. Told him a story. They said that their son backslid, went away from God, broke their hearts. But while he was away from God, he was rounding a curve in his car and it left the road and began to flip and turn. And their son was killed in that accident. And it was that blow that crushed them, bewildered them, almost destroyed them. Under the crushing load of their grief, they were not able to function. They felt like it was over. They just knew they couldn't get over it. Not knowing what to do, knowing that they could do nothing. They got in their car and they just started driving. No destination in mind, just driving. Full of fear, doubt, pain. Suddenly, his wife began to rummage through the glove box, and she came up with a cassette tape. They had a cassette player in the car. And without a word, she just reached over and plugged that tape in and began to play. You know what it was? It was preaching. It was a message that Brother Jones had preached 16 years before that. And he began to preach. And preaching did its job. They pulled that car over. Tears, hot tears, running down their cheeks and soaking the front of their clothes. But with those tears came healing. And with that word came faith. When he could speak, the husband looked over at his wife. And he said, "Honey, let's go home." He said, "We can do this. We can do this." Do you know where that strength came from? It came from preaching. A 16-year-old message. Really, the message is much older than that. It goes all the way back to Calvary. It goes all the way back to creation. That's the power of preaching. I'm telling you today, well, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Some of you, you come to church when you just didn't feel like you didn't want to come to church. This is the last place in the world you wanted to be. But somehow you made it. And in the course of a service, amen, in the course of a message, God reached out and
got a hold of your heart and shaped some things and did some things, rearranged some things. Amen. Transformed your life. That's the power of preaching. That's why we must preach. People can bring in entertainment. Entertainment can't do that. We could build an activity center, but activities won't do that. The only thing, because God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching. It only comes through preaching. So you know what? We got to keep preaching, folks. Amen. You know, when it's not happening like we want it to happen, we got to keep preaching. When the pews are not as full as we want them to be, we got to keep preaching. I was in a church one time, and I preached to 16 people. On Wednesday night, I preached to 16 people. On Sunday, I preached to 16 people. It was hard building this bigger, and 16 people, and I'd preach, and it got a little discouraging, and you know, I was preaching faith and all of that. And I just got to where I'd preach with my eyes closed. Because with my eyes closed, I saw the church full. With my eyes open, I saw 16 precious people. Amen. But you know what? In time, well, I could preach with my eyes open because the church was full. Hallelujah. We added an addition on to it. And we built the parking lot bigger. Amen. Because preaching produces in time. It'll fill the pews. Amen. People will be saved in the altar. People will be baptized in the baptistry. It all becomes possible by preaching. Just preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's good to have a good music program. But people are not saved by music. People can be stirred by music. People can be encouraged by music. People can be brought to a place in worship in music. But people are not saved by music. Great Sunday school. Thank God for our Sunday school department. Amen. But people are saved by preaching. The good thing is we preach in Sunday school too. Amen. Every Sunday school room preaches. You look on the walls, and the walls are preaching because they're decorated with scriptures. You walk down the hall, it's preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for preaching. There's power in preaching. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. It's important that we continue with preaching. He said the Jews seek after signs. And he said, the Greeks seek after wisdom. He said, but we preach. We preach. And that's what we do. If you want signs, there are places you can find them. If you want wisdom, there are places you can go. But we just preach. Amen. You know what we're going to keep doing, Brother Neil? We're just going to keep preaching. Somebody said, well, I found something that works better. Well, I don't think so, but you go ahead and try it. I'm just going to keep preaching. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We tried this, and I'll tell you what, our church is filling up. Well, you go ahead and do that, but as for me, I'm just going to keep preaching. Amen. Because God chose preaching. This is not a man's idea. This was God's idea. This was not man's plan. This is God's plan. So we'll just keep preaching. Amen. Thank God for preaching tonight. Amen. I wonder if somebody you've been challenged tonight. Amen. I want to tell you that there's answers for you in this place. God has answers for you here tonight. God has strength for your weakness. God has hope. God has peace. He has joy. In the Holy Ghost, He has answers for you tonight. If you're seeking some answers and you need some answers, I want to open up this altar for prayer. Ask you to step out. Make your way down to the front of this building. Find you a place to turn your face to God. Lift up your hands and your voice. God, I need some answers tonight. I need some help tonight. I need your strength here tonight. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Because you're everything that I need. The Bible said that in you we are complete. We're complete. There's nothing lacking when you're present. Hallelujah. When you're there, joy is there, peace is there, hope is there, mercy is there, grace is there, righteousness is there. Hallelujah. Purity's there. Thank you tonight, Jesus. When you come into my life, everything falls in the proper place, and I'm made complete.